turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to continue in this study in Philippians. Hopefully it's been good and beneficial. I know we grow in the grace and knowledge of our dear Savior. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to have the Bible with me all my life and into eternity, even though I have the Word of God in front of me. Amen? How many knows this Word will last forever? How many knows it'll take a lifetime and an eternity to get all the truths out of that Word? Yes. So I'm glad He made sure I got a copy of it. We're going to start in verse 10 this evening, Philippians 3:10, if you're taking notes. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Notice the Apostle Paul saying that I may know Him. How many of us knowing Christ in righteousness is really the purpose of faith? That you may know Him. How many of us came to know that revelation that Jesus is Lord? It's brought comfort into your life. It's brought change into your life. Knowing Christ is really knowing really all of life. What was impossible before is now possible for us. We went from death to life because of what Jesus did. I am so thankful that I'm saved. Amen. I said, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. Amen. That with my faith, how many knows knowledge has came? How many got the revelation when Jesus is Lord, you're walking in Him, you got a whole lot smarter than you were before. And you gave up things that were killing you anyways. How many knows faith had some knowledge connected to it? Say amen. How many knows that knowledge will grant you eternal life? And I look at that. Of everything you could amass in your lifetime, you could have multiple degrees. There's nothing wrong with it. You could have all this stuff done. But if you don't know Jesus is Lord, one day your life will be done and done away with. How many knows that's the beginning of all wisdom, is to know Christ? Say amen. Amen. I know that when I'm crucified with Him, how many knows that there's a difference? Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. That I may know Him in the power of the resurrection. I want to know Him in the power of the resurrection. Think about that power that raised Christ from the dead. That power now lives in us. Doesn't it say it'll quicken our mortal bodies? Yes, yes or no? Yes. Then how many want to see that power in us and flow through us? Yes. I wish I didn't have this flesh along for the ride, but I do. So something has to be crucified, something has to die in order that that power may be evident. Say amen. How many want to have that in you? The power of the resurrection. Shouldn't Christians have power? It's more than just a gathering together. There's power in Christ. And I want the world to see that we have the power of God. Like Ron Shear downtown at Hugs there. The pastor came over and says, I want what you guys got. You guys got some power over there. Yeah. That needs to be evident. Amen? Amen. How many of us, if people need prayer, I just don't want to just pray for them. I want something to happen as I'm praying for them. There has to be a certain amount of expectation there. Amen? So in your prayer time, I really want you to do this. That Father, when I lay hands on the sick, power is going to be released and healing is going to happen. Amen. Aren't we Pentecostals in here? Then we're not ashamed of the gospel either. It's more than just a collective group getting together. The world has seen enough of that. They needed to see power. Jesus is the power, amen? Amen? He brings justification. He brings righteousness to everyone who believes. In Romans 4:25, He was delivered for our offenses and He was raised for our justification. I love that. Romans 8:11, by the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you. Hallelujah. He will quicken your mortal bodies. I love that. I have the same Spirit in me that Jesus does. That is so cool. It's like the down payment. It's the earnest part. It's of all that God has. Oh, I love that. I'm so thankful I got the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it is just doesn't come upon me. He is in me. I have a greater measure than they walked in the Old Testament. They could have the power come upon, and great things were done. Great revelation came. How much more that I have the indwelled Holy Spirit. Christians need to live out their spiritual side of their life first, then the flesh side. Amen? Look at verse 10. And being made conformable unto His death. Paul's starting to expose a little bit of the familiar here. I mean, it was Paul had a time where he was stoned outside of Lystra. They thought he was dead. How many think that he was shipwrecked and he was beaten with rods? When Paul said, I conformed in that area, it's true. In this country, many times we have great freedoms. But our brothers and sisters around the world are struggling like this. If they have churches, sometimes they're burned down. People are arrested. How many knows that there's more conformable images there? But no persecution has ever made the church quit or harmed it to the place where it's been destroyed. But it's always promoted the gospel. I don't know how much our freedoms are going to be taken away, but one thing I do know is we're going to keep meeting. We're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep doing what God's called us to do. And I really want the church as a whole to begin to trust in the Lord more. On that prayer meeting that I asked you to pray on Saturday, I don't know how many of you guys came up to me and says, you know what, Pastor, I prayed at that time. I did this, I prayed at that time. How many knows that's going to accomplish things? I never want to have a time where I just say, well, every time at this day we're going to do this. No, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. But there are more of those coming. Amen. And when it's more of those coming, when it's the divine thing that God does, how many knows God's working in and through that? It isn't a ritual in those things. We have a relationship with Him. Amen? Notice that there'll be a resurrection of the dead. I love that. That is a blessed hope. I do not fear death. I know where I'm going to go, amen? Not that I want to die tomorrow, but I know where I'm going to go. Amen. It's like I have a hope that goes beyond the grave. It's a blessed hope. How many knows that's something there for everyone? That's why funerals are so hard as a Christian. Because you're sad they're gone, but in some sense it's like, man, dude, they're in glory. They're not being sad at all. Right. You weep with those who weep, but sometimes it's like, man, there should be a party going on too. It's trying to have the balance in between that. But each one of us know that we have a hope. Amen? Yes. Even the Apostle Paul in Acts 26, when he's in front of King Agrippa, he says, I'm here to testify of the resurrection. Is it too hard for God to raise the dead? Is it too hard for God to raise the dead?
No.
No, that power is there. We need to look at these examples and say, you know what? That power dwells in me. Amen. I said, that power dwells in me. I want that power to flow from us. At this altar, when people come forward, I want their needs met. Can that happen? Can we be the church where God can trust us with the power of God? Not that we're all that, but we're walking humble with it so it meets the needs. Every gift of the Spirit should flow in our midst to meet the needs of people. If that's our heart's desire, God will grant those things to us. Too often people use the gifts for their own gain. And how many of us, sooner or later, God says, that's enough of that. He puts a tap on that. Said, no, no more there. But a church that lays it forth, say, God, I want to know you. Amen? Look at verse 11. That I may obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. This resurrection of the dead is the blessed hope. Verse 12. Not as though I've already obtained either and been made perfect, but I follow after. I love this. Paul's striving in humility. He's following after the example of Christ. Now, in my life, things are progressive. I got instantly saved when I asked Jesus in there. The rest of it's been a progressive journey. Does that testify to anybody here? It's like I'm perfect inside with the Holy Ghost, but my flesh is still along. My mind still needs to be renewed. But it's like taking steps in faith that, you know what, I'm taking steps. And the more steps you take, the farther you get from what you used to be. It's not merely an intellectual thing. It's an experience for the whole man, transforming our impressions, our views, and our judgments. Listen, our outward suffering, listen, will go to the glorification of Christ. Look, if you suffer in the flesh for your faith, God will reward you. Sometimes that may come with a snide comment. Oh, you're one of them. Or maybe a promotion didn't come your way because they found out you were a Christian. Say amen. I remember I witnessed at a job and the boss didn't like it. And for 3 months, they gave me the worst job on the planet. I mean, the worst job. When break time would be there, I wouldn't even be called because I was outside working in the back. How many of you can get fired up in the flesh and say, man, I don't deserve this. Oh, nobody in here. Amen? Come on. But you just submit it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you. But whenever there was a need arose, how many knows the tables are turned? And see, at that moment, will you still remember how you were mistreated, or will you show grace and glory upon? Oh, come on. How many knows that's the real test? Will you do what they've done to you, or will you lay that aside? Come on. Look at verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth for those things that are ahead. This is a great way to live. You forget what is behind, and you reach out for what lies ahead. The first part is a pure spiritual act, but the second is like a spiritual act with demonstration. No, I'm going to reach out for that which is there. How many of us, that's a positive thing? We need to also reach out in faith. It's both a spiritual act, but I'm reaching for an object that I haven't obtained yet. I'm fixing my gaze on that. Doesn't say heaven's our home? How many knows Jesus said when you put your hands to the plow, don't what? How many knows there's movement in there? It's like you're fixing your gaze. Paul's trying to bring this illustration. Look, set your mind straight ahead. Fix your gaze. Reach out for that goal. Amen? It indicates the direction you're going to. Now, how many want heaven in your home? Then I'm going to strive for those areas. In my faith, I'm going to reach those areas. The Bible says we're seated in. When does that happen? When we finally get there? Or how many spiritually right now? We're seated. Didn't he say, come dine with me? We're seated. Those things are obtainable in the spirit. Yes, I know our body's here. But a runner who looks at the goal line doesn't care how many steps it takes to get there. He's just going to cross it. How many think heaven's our final destiny place? Is our final place to go? Then fix your eyes upon that prize. Jesus is your prize. Amen? In Hebrews 3 verse 1 says this, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. When we start to look at him, it changes our actions. Colossians 3 2, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. So many Christians are so dead set on this now time. And where your heart is, there where goes your affections too. Let's not be weighed down with carnal things. But let's set our affections on things above, on the Lord Jesus. Listen, my greatest prize in heaven will be Jesus Christ himself. Then any other rewards after that is just secondary. He is my reward. That's what I strive after, truly. And how many want to take as many as you can with us? Then every prayer will be answered. Every prayer has power. When I look today, the church in the whole, many times is so lukewarm. It's so engrossed in today. It's like an assembly of people, but they lack the power of God. It needs to come back. Listen, holiness is still part of the church. Righteousness and justification is still part of the church. And repentance is a grace word. It's like you can turn from your wicked ways. Oh, I'm going to preach this now. Woe unto us as Christians if there is no conviction from the pulpits anymore. Because what we'll do is we'll put a layer of deception over it and say all is well and our hearts are far from him. I'm preaching now. Look at verse 15. Let us, say let us. How about you? Let you, therefore, as many as be mature or perfect, be thus minded. And if anyone's other mind, God will reveal that to you. Our character, our growth, and our progression needs to be that of Jesus Christ, faithful unto him. Well, Lord, let me be this and not otherwise minded. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. In my life as a Christian, I've had a whole lot of Christians say this, Pastor, I can't beat sin, so I'm going to join it. And God will forgive me when I ask him. How many knows that's dangerous ground? That's saying, I'm going to sin, and Lord, you're just going to take care of it for me. No, it's if you sin, if you fail. It's not like you set yourself out for that arena. It's like, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk with you. Is this good preaching? Now, how many have noticed some growth and progression in your character? How many have seen some things like, I know more about the Lord than I did before? I've noticed those things begin to shape my life. I've noticed that when a man or woman becomes mature, it affects his or her speech. You can know what it is by what's coming out. That doesn't mean you don't slip here or there. But it's like you're learning those things. You're starting to work in those things. When I look at Jesus, hey, he matured everyone. He took a bunch of raw men and made them world changers. You want to be a world changer? Get close to Jesus. Strive with one another. When I look today, I know this for a fact, that the Lord wants to mature his body. Amen? Anyone who wants to get married to a lady or a man wants to marry an adult. How many knows an immature bride or groom has spells trouble? You want maturity in those things. When I do marriage counseling, I ask him or her, where are you going to take your bride to? And if he doesn't have an answer, he should wait. Because it's nice to live at home, but how many know sometimes you got to move out of house and build your own family? You have no insurance, you have no place to go, you have no job, but we love each other. How many knows reality is, no, you kind of need to work on these things and the Lord will bring this to you. That's good preaching. And one that makes some people upset. But those are realities. Come on, you're going to get out of bed and you're going to do something. Say amen. Amen. When it comes to living for Christ, a strong initiative is what we need. We do. We got to look at it and say, man, I'm going to put this forth. I'm going to be this person. I'm going to press on. I'm going to reach for those areas in the name of Jesus. And you know what? You'll strive for those things. To be heavenly minded is to be awesome. I said to be heavenly minded is awesome. Sometimes we can Christianize it. Listen, I want to think about the things of the Lord daily. I'll still do my job. I'll still do things. But how many knows that I need to keep that in focus? There are so many things that we see and we perceive, and many times we walk after that. But if I'm going to be mature, I have to be like-minded. Philippians 3:15. Let's be like-minded. Now, I appreciate when I called for prayer that we were all like-minded. You know, God's going to do some great things privately in behind the scenes. Like a word came this morning that just because you don't see things happen doesn't mean God isn't working. Continue to believe. Continue to hold that out. And I really believe this with all my heart, that a lot of things are going to rapidly change in just like an instant. And all those prayers have ascended and God says, boom, 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 boom. How many believe that? I do. So holding on to those areas. Notice Paul saying, be like-minded. And if you're otherwise minded, Paul's talking about false teachers. Some have entered into the fray there. Some have entered into the church and tried to persuade other people. It's amazing the enemy will always attack your mind. How many have had that battle? How many ever had a thought contrary or whatever? How many had to even talk to yourself like, no, I'm not going there. It's just not right. Or maybe a thought about somebody else. No, I'm not going there. You thought it for a moment, but then you dealt with it. Like that guy that cut you off and didn't care about you and tried to make it your problem. Amen? How many knows you need Jesus to drive around here? Because some people don't need a license, but they got one anyways. Amen? I always kid all the young people there, if you get a new car and a license, you should have a yellow light that flashes. I'm a new driver, amen? But no one took my word on that. Say, God is good. Notice verse 16, the end of that verse says, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. What a powerful thing that is. Let's believe, church, that when we come together, God's going to minister. Man, that's what I appreciate about Allie. Here's Allie, comes in, does this. Pastor, I'm believing for a move of God today. Just a sweet time of worship, that the Lord would come. How many of those are words of faith? Yes. And then she's not ashamed to pray in the Holy Spirit. These are behind the scenes things that we need to see manifest publicly. When we arrive at the same place at the same time, something's going to happen. That's what I appreciate about the Jewish people, that when they threw a party, they partied. Man, they took days. Wouldn't that be cool? Hey, for the next 2 weeks, church, we're going to have a celebration barbecue every day. And you had such means that you could just take 2 weeks off and all your bills are covered. Wouldn't that be cool? We're having a two-week barbecue. Amen? There's 10,000 cattle out there that we're going to have a barbecue with. We're going to feed the whole block, the whole city. They're all going to come out. Somebody can do the cooking. Mark can do the cooking. Amen? Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them who what? What's the word there say? Who walk as an example. Somebody say example. How many knows we need to walk with those who have examples? All of us in here can have a testimony. I appreciate Marcia stepping up. It took a lot for her to come and share at the mic. But she came in today and she did this. Pastor, I'll give you Marcia. Pastor, I'm ready to share. How many know she reached out to that which is there? I've obtained that. How many, that's cool. We all have a testimony. The Lord moves in your life, there's room for you. Say amen. We receive these things, not, it's like achieved. It's like a goal. It's like I'm walking and we're walking together. And I have that example in front of me. I mark those. I also look and say, you know what? I thank God for you. I thank God that your faith is real. I thank God that, you know, we're doing this together. And if we do it together, how many knows that we need to be the same one with another? Church needs models to follow after. Is Jesus our example? How many knows Jesus was a real person? I read that he laughed, he cried, he rebuked, he preached, he exhorted. How many knows he did all those things that we did? He had flesh like us, yet without sin. Even when it comes to young people. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise your youth, but through example to the believer in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Titus 2:7 says, showing a pattern of good works, doctrine, uncorrupt, sincere. 1 Thessalonians 1:7, he told the church of Macedonia, listen, in Achaia, be examples to all. I want Lighthouse to be example. Now, Mark and I will attest to this. We were bowling one time, and this brother had this shirt on. There was one lane over. He was from a church that's local around here. And man, they were acting the most ungodly you could imagine. Mark, am I true in this? They were pounding them down. They were cussing up a storm. And the pastor's name in church is right here. And I'm thinking to myself, I know that brother really isn't condoning this work. Yeah. Amen. Say amen. But how many knows that you wore that for the world to see, oh, is that where you go? I'll be honest with you. If I saw that and I was an unbeliever, the first thing that I'd do is, I'd never go there. That's no different than the world. Yep. How many knows there needs to be a difference? As much as the world hates those who are pure, they still want an example. They do. They need to know that there's more hope. And Mark and I are just like, oh man, I hope that pastor doesn't know that. Amen? True, Mark? I was really almost ashamed and embarrassed. Look at verse 18. For many walk, in whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, for they are enemies of the cross. They serve themselves. I'll get into that in just a minute. They serve, and says in Romans 16, verse 18, they serve not the Christ, but their own bellies. They have good words and fair speeches, but their hearts, listen to me, deceive the simple. Paul had to deal with this in the Philippian church. Look, don't let people turn you aside or astray. And he's to the point now, I'm even weeping over you. How many think that's a great shepherd's heart? He knew soon that he would be departing. And he looked, oh, when I go away, grievous wolves. We also in this church need to be sensitive. Because wolves will come in among us and they won't growl. But they will act docile. They will be like in until they can take the prey and become victimized in it. We have to be sensitive. Listen, if it doesn't look right, it doesn't smell right, check it out. Come on. As your pastor, I walk in discernment, but you may see something. If somebody is hitting on a bunch of people here, trying to draw some ladies away, make me known. Let it be known. I know this for a fact. I remember one time I was in service, and there was a young lady. She just came to the church. She was single. And this guy, I swear to you, it's like a panoramic view, and I knew everything going on. He did this. He was in the back of the church, and he did this. He got up on his tippy toes, and he looked around. And he's like, he scanned the whole congregation. This girl was just lifting her hands, loving God in sincerity. Guess where he walks? Right up to her. And I had seen this. Now, we need to walk in a level of discernment. Here's what he does in worship. I'll face you. He goes. Then he closes one eye and lifts his hands like, yeah, I'm doing this. Say amen. And how many knows that a relationship started to form and they were both out of the church? What had some strength now had none. Do you see how the enemy works? He works subtly. He works in that midst. Well, we need to have more. Now, I'm not here to turn anyone away, but I am going to turn an evil part away. I can pray. You can get to the altar and get your life right, because that may be your son or daughter. Say amen. How many knows a brother needs some ministry to him? Yes or no? Well, about 6 months later, the girl came back to church. Says, you know what? I was praying for a guy that would love Jesus. And this guy walked right up to me in service, and I thought it was the Lord. I mean, sometimes when you have a longing in your heart, you really want something, you kind of hope it's going to work. Let's not get point our fingers. How many knows that's reality? But sometimes you got to look and say, you know what, Lord, give her grace, strengthen, amen? I'm glad that she didn't say, I do. I said, I'm glad she didn't say, I do. The enemy comes to bring division and offenses. We have to keep ourselves from that. That's part of the enemy of the cross, divisions and offenses. They try to sow in that arena. We have to fight against that. Say no. Even if it's brothers and sisters, no. Let nothing come between us. Because nothing's that bad. Come on, if we're living for Jesus, we can all walk that road. True? Look at verse 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. The enemy always has a goal to destroy Christianity. Paul's warning them, listen to me, this is real here. If you're taking notes, 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15 covers a whole lot of this area. Talks about false apostles and deceitful workers. Even Satan himself being transformed into an angel of light. Now what if the enemy comes in and he draws a crowd unto himself? Start to recognize that. I'm going to be real, real with you. You have one pastor here. You have under shepherds that are with us. We have a great board of elders. But if somebody else tries to be your pastor here, I've seen it happen in churches, that somebody draws a whole group to themselves. Come on, we've all lived long enough. Come on, is this reality? No, that's out of order. That's something to recognize, that false apostles, deceitful workers will transform themselves even to the apostles of Christ. Listen, that's Satan's goal. He always has ministers of unrighteousness out there who work according to the flesh. And believe me, you can polish the flesh pretty good. You really can. You can have a service that the music is just bar none. Great musicians, great singers. You can have all that just top notch. But that doesn't mean the Lord is saying, I'm pleased with that. Come on, we have to have the anointing there. The Spirit of God has to be there. There has to be the witness of the Holy Spirit. And you can't manufacture the Holy Ghost in the flesh. That's how you know. Is it Spirit? Whenever I see these churches, I ask, who are your people who pray? Say amen. Notice Paul said, their God is their belly. It's whom they serve. We need to recognize in whom they serve. They embrace sensual things, sensual desires. Their glory is their shame, and it belongs to them. Notice Scripture is clear. They mind earthly things. Just because somebody says Jesus is Lord doesn't mean they're saved. Now, how many remember when Peter, when Jesus was ready to go to the cross, and he talked about, hey, no, be it far from you, Lord. How many remember that story? It's in Matthew 16. He turned unto Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. You savor not the things of God, but men." He spoke to that spirit. Peter saying, "Oh, be it far from you, Lord, for dying on the cross." Notice Jesus spoke right to it. He says, "No, that's of the wrong spirit." Even his disciples operated in that arena before they got filled with the Holy Ghost. How much more people today? "Oh, that's done away with. Oh, you don't need the blood anymore. Oh, Jesus paid it all. You can live your own life." That's all out there. It's amazing what Christians really believe. Just because there's a big crowd doesn't mean it's a great congregation. When I look today, so many mind earthly things, and earthly things are it. Yes, they sprinkle a little bit of word on it, but there's no holiness with it. There's no righteousness. There's no change. Church, we need it. We need to live it out. The world needs to see it. The whole church has went this way. We got to come against the tide and say, "Thus saith the Lord." We can be those people. Amen? My heart and my goal is that what you see happening here will happen other places. Amen. That other churches will go, "You know what? We need to pray together. We need to seek the Lord together." How many knows the Lord can do that? That's not reserved for Lighthouse. That's reserved for the kingdom of God. "I know him whom I've heard from." Look at verse 20. "For let our conversation..." Now, how many have a King James Version? How many have a King James? Or New King James? Okay, does anybody have citizenship there? "Let our citizenship." That's a better rendering. In the King James, they put conversation. But the better rendering is this: "Let our citizenship that's in heaven." How many of us, that's a regular thing? It's like, it's more than just our speaking. It's our citizenship. "For our citizenship is in heaven, whence we look to our Savior, our Lord Jesus." We are citizens of heaven. Yes, our conversation is there, but our citizenship is so much greater. Amen? I can speak from that place. Oh, I love that. I mean, that calls things that are not as though they are. If I look from that area, am I'm seated in heavenly places, then all that arena and all those resources are right at my disposal. It's not like I'm striving for something that I can't obtain. No, it's already with me. Lord, help me to utilize what's been given to me since my citizenship is there. I mean, it's easier to receive by faith that way. It's like it's right there. I don't have to strive at it. It's right there. Lord, help me to incorporate this in this. I often wonder, the church needs power to change lives, true? No wonder there's so little power in the church. Who wants to change lives? Who wants to see God move? Honestly, we need to have that. It needs to be a desire of ours. We need all the strength and the power from the Holy Spirit. My citizenship is there, and I want others to know that and receive what I have. Come on. Look at verse 21. "Who will change our vile bodies?" I can say amen to that. How many have some aches and pains here and there? Anybody? How many here have ever had vertigo before? Where things spin like a top and your life's about, okay. That's a nasty thing. It really is. I've experienced that several times in my life. It's like you turn your head this way, and it'll keep spinning that way. Then if you turn your head that way, it'll go that way. And soon it's like that rotor on Cedar Point where the floor drops out. That's just what it's like, and you can't focus on nothing. And soon your whole body responds, and it's like, oh, praise the Lord. But have you ever noticed that even in the midst of when your body is aching, your spirit is still solid? It's still there. It's like unaffected by the natural if you really push through. Yes, you're hindered in prayer. I understand it. Sometimes you don't feel like it. But I've recognized that, hey, regardless of what's happening here, this is still strong. Amen? When Jesus says he'll change our vile bodies, likened unto his glorious body. I love that. Our future transformation is going to be awesome. Jesus had transformers before Hollywood did. Amen? I'm going to have a body likened on to Jesus. Isn't that going to be so cool? I really pray that I can do everything Jesus has done. The door was locked and he could come in the room and you could feel me. I could eat real food and like it was real food. And yet the Father could take him up slow or instantly be gone. Isn't that be cool? Come on. When it's total spirit, there's no limitations. Isn't that where we're going, people? Huh? Do you think that the next life is going to be so much more glorious than this? All right, let me make a couple statements to you. Can you imagine our carnal and sinful nature is totally changed? No more thoughts of carnality or a sinful area at all. 100% gone. Our body no longer needs to be changed. It's been transformed into his glory. That is an unbelievable step. That's why in heaven there is no lust, there is no greed, there is no jealousy. All those carnal things have been purged away. Isn't that going to be cool? The character of the people there is going to be unbelievable. That's why it's so important now to sow this word in there, that we can mature in faith. Romans 8, verse 29, being conformed into the image of his son, the firstborn amongst many brethren. 2 Corinthians 3:18, with an open face we beheld the glory of the Lord and are changed into that same image from glory to glory. Now I hope you being in my presence brings some change into your life. I do. Otherwise, as a pastor, I really haven't achieved much. But how much more you be in the presence of the Lord, he'll change you. Amen? We need to be a church that's changing from glory to glory. We need seasoned saints as well as new converts in our midst. We need that steady flow. That keeps the church from becoming stagnant, stuck up, and a whole bunch of other words. Can we be that church? Are you enjoying tonight? When I look, I have a few words of wisdom. I don't have many of those, but I have a few. I'll give you a word of wisdom here. Pride and lust of this world can make a man an enemy of the cross of Christ. A man who opposes the cross of Christ labors for his own ruin. There is a threefold working in Christ. One, he's redeemed his people from the curse of sin through his blood. Secondly, he redeems us more and more through the power of the Holy Spirit against sin. And finally, he redeems us from the misery and oppression of the evil, ungodly world to his heavenly kingdom. Well, I've been reserved in all of this. Paul warned false teachers would be around. He warned that, listen, we need to change according to his glory. He says, carnally, like, listen, there's no benefit in that. Evil workers would enter in. Watch out for grievous things. But how much more transformation power do we need? Paul said, I'm being transformed. Now picture him now, having all the shipwrecks, all the stonings, all the beatings, being ready to be offered in Rome, and now his heart goes out to the Philippians. I'm even crying over you, knowing that grievous wolves will try to enter in. Can you see his heart? I can see such a self-sacrifice. Even though he's going through it and will go through it more, his heart is for others. We need that too, church. We need to have that self-sacrificing love. We need to look out and say, listen, if they can't make it, I'm going to help them make it. Amen? And sometimes the practical things. It may be going to get milk for somebody. Say amen. How many of us, it's a little thing sometimes. Some things that may be overlooked, but I don't want to overlook anything. Lord, let us be mindful of this. Have the same mind of Christ. Now, I can honestly say this, church. For the first time since I've been a pastor, I've seen the congregation respond and do more in private than they're doing in public. That's a good thing. Amen. That means we are getting it, including the pastor. We are getting it down that God can entrust us with more spiritual things than we've ever had before. If you're faithful with little, I'll give you much. Yes, sir. Amen. And I believe the maturity of the house can handle more. I mean, I'm not doing this for your own little glory, are you? I want to see the Lord work. I really do. How many can see it filled? How many can see it filled? What if 100 new converts came tomorrow? Are you ready to disciple? Say amen. Amen. How many knows God can turn it up? Turn it up, Lord. I want to be that person. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to just have excuses for the faith. I want to walk in it. Amen. Do you enjoy tonight? Yes. Father, help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we're changed from glory to glory. Lord, that even this vile body, Lord God, one day will put off this corruption and put on incorruption. Hallelujah. That, Lord, you said to strive, Lord God, to position ourselves and to reach out in faith, to reach out to those things. Lord, that spiritual act, Lord God, of pressing in and pressing on. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we'll mind the same things. That, Lord, we won't be contrary like those, Lord God, that are without. Lord, those that just mind earthly things whose God is their own belly. Lord, they worship in their own selves, but we worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're our number one. Now I want you to begin to focus in on him. If there's any areas that you know, like, Lord, I need the mind of Christ here. I want to walk more in that. Maybe there's some areas that just the carnal mind seems to creep up, and maybe you think the Lord can do it, but then you revert back, say, no, I'm walking in this or that. You need to have more trust in the Lord your God. Father, help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to look out in faith. And Lord God, when the enemy tries to come in, Lord, we'll discern those things. That we truly are our brother's keeper. That, Lord, we'll look like the Apostle Paul. That even weeping over the church, he was so concerned. Lord, let us have that heart, that mind. In the precious name of Jesus. Church, we need to walk more in it. How many agree there? Amen. If you would, lift your hands. I want to bless you. Father, a blessing on this congregation. That, Lord, help us to digest your word and grow in the grace and the knowledge. Lord, bring it back to remembrance. Lord, the things that are needful for our lives. And Lord, we speak revival to the land. Somebody declare that. Hallelujah. Somebody speak souls in here. Souls to be saved, Lord God. Souls to be saved. If you're filled with the Spirit, begin to release that prayer language in the name of Jesus. Lord, the backslider to return in Jesus' name. Lord God, new power, Lord God, to be released in your church. Lord, use us, Lord God. Lord, to speak a word of life. Lord, families restored in the name of Jesus. Lord, boldness, Lord God, to speak and preach your word. Lord, grant it, Lord God. Lord, humility in the house. And Lord, give us the same mind and heart, one with another. The same heart you do, Jesus. Oh, Lord, grant it, Lord God. Lord, we speak revival in the children. Lord, we speak revival in our young people. Lord, as well as the adults in the name of Jesus. Lord, remove every hindrance, every blockade. Lord, help us to be spiritually minded. Mind the things of Christ. Lord, we're seated with you, so we'll be of that same heart. Bless your people, Lord, as they go today. Continue to fill them with your strength and power. In Jesus' name, amen.